Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Wednesday before the 2024 baseball season opens. Our local baseball heroes, pardon me, get ready to rock and roll, we hope. And at least specific to the Yankees, everybody's overreacting to this stuff with Blake Snell, with Jordan Montgomery. Listen, even, you know, last year at this time, imagine if we were sitting here and Carlos Rodon, last year this time, not now, a year ago, and Carlos Rodon was on the Diamondbacks, or he went wherever, and we identified a need for another arm for the Yankee rotation, and we're sitting here screaming all winter, oh my God, you got to get Carlos Rodon, you got to get Rodon, oh my God, if the Yankees don't get Rodon, they're not all in, which is all I've heard all winter, and they didn't get Rodon, and then let's say Rodon went to Arizona and did in Arizona what he did with the Yankees a year ago. Now, what I'm saying is, you never know. Blake, of course Montgomery's good. Let's not overstate it. Of course Blake Snell is good. Let's not overstate it. The Yankees, yes, the Cole injury is an issue, but the Yankees are going to hit their way to October this season.
Yeah, so they said all in, though. They went and got Juan Soto for 1 year. They, in their words, knew also, you know, when they missed the postseason in 2008, they went out there and went all in with Sabathia, Burnett, and Teixeira. They missed the postseason last year. They said all in, and it's they get Juan Soto, and that's it. They needed to do a lot more. To me, the Mets have actually had a better offseason relative to expectation than the Yankees. The Mets tried to get Yamamoto, as did the Yankees, but they both missed out on that. The Mets, you know, went and added some quality arms to their starting rotation as far as depth pieces go, with Severino, with Sean Manaea. They add a center fielder in Harrison Bader and are able to move Brandon Nimmo to left. And then they add the bat in J.D. Martinez that they desperately needed in their lineup, lengthening that out. And the Yankees just added Juan Soto. So, yes, Stroman was the second option, or maybe even third or fourth option, with all the talk about Blake Snell, who they made an offer to, and obviously he didn't accept. They pivoted, and they go to Marcus Stroman. Talk about Jordan Montgomery, Corbin Burns, Dylan Cease. Gone, 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 gone. The Yankees don't get any of those guys. They get Verdugo, Soto, and Stroman in an all-in offseason. To me, that is just not enough. And not only is it not enough, I don't even think it's as good as the Mets offseason, who by their own admission weren't going all-in. At least the Mets stuck to their plan and still built a team that can be a wild card team. Yankees, if everything goes right, and already it's gone wrong, if everything goes right, sure, they could compete for a World Series, but they're already losing Cole for 2 months of the season. At best case, he's out for 2 months of the season. Judge already having mid-spring beat up. I have major concerns, BT, about the Yankees and their offseason going into this year.
877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the Fan inside of our Town Fair Tire studio, which is mobile today. on the road, as I said before. I really appreciate the invite. MLB Network reached out to us and said, hey, you guys want to do the show from here on Wednesday to kick off the season? Yup. And that's where we are. Town Fair Tire remains. You always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We get back to the calls here, 877-337-6666. Brian Kenny will join us next hour. Al Leiter coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. So a lot of Yankees and Mets stuff with him. I mean, listen, if you want to tell me Yanks didn't go all in, I could obviously have the conversation. I get it. I know why people are saying that. But to say, I just want to unpack this. To say that the Mets had a better offseason than the Yankees, mm-hmm. is, I honestly think, the most ludicrous thing that I've heard on the station in over a year. What? Except maybe the only thing more ludicrous was me with Zach Wilson. This right. is Zach Wilson territory. The Mets had a better offseason.
I was
going
to say,
dude.
Have you listened to the station recently?
Have we listened to the show? Yeah, right. A lot of things are going on at the station.
But I could give you reasons to back it up. I'm not just saying that. Now, it doesn't mean that the Mets are going to be a better team than the Yankees. They had a better offseason. By the way, do you want to factor in what's the biggest prize that the Yankees had in the offseason that you're hanging your hat on?
One of the best players in baseball.
And Juan Soto. For 1 year.
Well, okay, but I can't worry about 2025.
Well, but that's part of it. The main acquisition that they made is for 1 year,
yeah.
And they didn't back that up by going all in. So to me, it's almost a waste. If you're going to get Juan Soto and know it's for 1 year, you better back that up with all-in moves. They didn't. What the Mets did was build out a team. Now, you could minimize Harrison Bader, and I don't think he's going to be healthy the whole year because he never is, but what he does on paper is make them better in two spots, center field and left field. Well, Severino, by your own account, you think he's going to be good. Sean Manaea, being a nice addition to their rotation.
Why is it a nice addition? It's a nice addition because he's on the Mets. I mean, what the hell's so good? Stroman was awful last year.
It's a solid addition.
He had
a good spring. Well, you're saying Marcus Stroman is a good addition.
Well, I'm saying Marcus Stroman's okay.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm touting him like Manaea.
I'm not touting Manaea. I'm just saying.
But you're saying it's a good move. How do we know he was horrible last year?
They added a major league caliber pitcher.
So did the Yankees and Marcus Stroman.
No. But the Mets added two to their rotation.
And the other one being Severino.
Yeah.
Yes, who I do think will pitch well, but also, factually based and statistically speaking, was batting practice a year ago.
Understood.
So just because I'm saying that he's going to be good doesn't mean that he's going to be good.
But we're talking about the off seasons, right?
So I know.
The Mets brought in two major league arms. Now, I don't think the Mets rotation is going to be very good, but they brought in two major league arms who both had a good spring to fill out their rotation. They upgraded center field and left field as a byproduct of that, and they brought in a DH, which upgrades their lineup. And not to mention their bullpen, which I think is very good now on paper, getting Diaz back, but the other moves that they made as well. The Yankees added Juan Soto, and they added Alex Verdugo, which to me is kind of redundant because you have all these other guys you're talking about with Dominguez. Stanton's still here, so I don't know exactly where Verdugo is fitting into this mix.
He's going to fit into left field.
And they added,
on opening day.
They add Marcus Stroman. They lose Gerrit Cole for 2 months.
Not their fault.
But it's part of the offseason.
You can't control that.
They're doubling down on Rodon because they don't have a choice. They got Clark Schmidt, Luis Gil, who you could knock Severino and Manaea, but at least the other two are major league proven. And Clark Schmidt is not major league proven. And Luis Gil is not major league proven on a team that's supposed to be contending for the World Series. Not to mention Nestor Cortez, who I love, but also coming off a bad year. Like, do the math. You think the Yankees had a good offseason?
I do. I absolutely do.
Totally disagree.
So we've gone through this a lot, and there's a lot of different versions of this. But, just so we can simplify and move forward, get back to these calls here. So Sal just asked me, do I think the Yankees had a good offseason? Now, you got to understand, the way I'm coming at this to answer it is based on the deficiencies from a year ago. There was a dearth, a straight-up absence of prominent left-handed power. But that's gone. Enter Juan Soto. Their biggest hole, which was as big a hole in left field this century for the New York Yankees, has been addressed by a guy who's a 281 lifetime hitter, who's a doubles machine, three straight years, over 30-plus doubles. 1 year he almost had 40, and has been in the playoffs in Verdugo. Oh, yeah, by the way, he brings a little grit and a little bite and a little mm-hmm. unpredictability that these Yankees who become very boring and sterile. I think Verdugo is, for a year, exactly what they need. So you throw left field, and who's also a lefty, and not a massive power guy, but probably 15, 16, 17 as a Yankee in with right field. So everything they didn't do well last year, at least they've addressed on the surface. And then the things that they couldn't control, like the Judge injury, you know, hopefully that resolves itself with a healthy season. The Yankees won 82 games last year. If you literally sat down before the start of the season and said, let's see, what can I concoct to make this the most, you know, the most devious, disruptive script in the history of this century of the Yankees? Well, that was it, because everything that could go wrong went wrong. And yes, they're banking on some things to go right, and I agree with them because I think that they will.
But they've already gone wrong. Cole is out for 2 months. Judge has had mid-spring beat-up.
I can't LeMahieu scream about that, though, Sal.
Well, but it's already gone wrong. I mean, what do you mean? It's happened.
But it's nobody's fault.
Oh, but it happened.
I understand that.
And that's a problem.
Is he out for the season?
Cole's out for 2 months.
Is he out for the season?
I don't know. Well, you don't know that either.
I don't, but I don't know that he's not coming back.
But here's what we do know. He's out for 2 months. We also know that their leadoff hitter, the team that they built, Brian Cashman, this offseason with all the moves that they made, the team that they built still had DJ LeMahieu being their everyday third baseman and leadoff hitter. He's also out.
I don't care about DJ LeMahieu.
Well, I'm not sure what you do care about, because if you build the team. By the way, who's playing left field for the Yankees?
Verdugo.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Aaron Judge, because who's playing right field?
On opening day?
Yeah. Is Judge playing center, or is Grisham playing center?
Probably Judge.
Well, but we don't even know that. So
we do. We're gonna have Sal. You're taking steps that are crazy here. Your opening day outfield is gonna be Verdugo, above average, slightly above average major league player. Judge, superstar. Soto, superstar.
Yeah.
What's so hard to translate about
that? I don't think that
they got two of the five best players in baseball in three spots on opening day.
I don't believe that Judge is going to be playing center field every day.
Okay, but do you believe he's going to be playing opening day, center field on opening day?
Are you worried about opening day?
But
I'm worried about the season.
But I think you could juggle both.
Okay, well, they're going to. And when they do, it's going to be Judge in left, Verdugo out, and Grisham in center field.
It's going to be Dominguez in center field when they ultimately do the juggle, which I can't wait to see.
Right, okay, but and when's that coming exactly?
When he's healthy.
Yeah, which is not opening day.
June, July.
Oh, so the Yankee season starts in June. Everybody else starts tomorrow.
No, the Yankee season starts tomorrow.
Right.
And I am prepared to sit down and watch a lineup. Granted, the Astros are better at this point. I'm expected to see some offense first couple of days. I have no doubt they're going to score runs.
Yeah.
Now, can they stop the other team? What's the bullpen? Back end? I know you don't love the back end, and I don't love it, although I think it's better than you say it is.
I like Luis Gil, but I guess.
No, I'm saying with Holmes, like, he's not Diaz.
The back end of the bullpen.
That is functional. Yeah. Like, the Yankee, like, what you just presented, the Yankees outfield, this is the best Yankees outfield this century.
Yeah.
It's Soto and Judge.
Yeah, we'll see.
What am I missing here?
Okay.
It's Soto and Judge.
Right.
It's better than Winfield and whomever.
Better
than Birdie and whomever. It's Soto and Judge.
Right. What you're missing is you're relying.
I'm not missing anything.
No, you're relying on two great players. I'm looking at a team. The Yankees have not built a great team. They brought in another superstar to already pair with their other superstar. That's not a great team as far as I'm concerned.
All right, Sal, let's get back to these phones. 877-337-6666. Let's get back to you, Peter in Bay Ridge. Pete, what's going on, buddy?
Hey. Great combination, you guys. Okay.
What's up, Pete?
Both of you. I love listening to you guys. The subtext of going all in is good decisions. But what I come at this from is it's the bad and the mistakes and the losing that leads to winning. The Yankees draft Derek Jeter. They got him because they had a terrible season the year before. I think he was the number six pick. And meanwhile, he's top 10 or top five in hitting of all time. Hard to believe. The Astros, they're winning today. I remember it was 20 minutes ago. They were losing 100 games a season for I don't know how many years straight.
I think it was three. At least two. I think it was three. Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy. But the Dodgers, no one would argue they didn't go all in. Ohtani, Yamamoto. Mm-hmm. And yet, they might have a betting scandal on their hands. Who knows where this is going?
Okay.
And so I just want you guys to talk about that.
They might have given $370 gazillion dollars to the wrong guy in Yamamoto, who was batting practice during the spring and got absolutely lit up in Seoul. So that's why I get it. Like, there's usually, when there's an urgency for a team to do something and they do something big, we're galvanized. It feels good. But it doesn't always mean it's the right move, Sal.
Correct.
And I wanted the Yanks to get Yamamoto. You wanted the Mets. But if he's a complete stiff and a bum, and he very well might be, and he gets lit up, the Yankees and Mets may have averted disaster. So what we thought was the right move in December when he signed, and into January and February, the Snell, the Montgomery stuff, the Rodon stuff a year ago, you never know.
I just don't understand how they say all in, and this is what they had. While they tried to add another pitcher, and all they come up with is Marcus Stroman. That does not add up to me. And then you look at the team, I don't think they built out a team properly. Like, there's no need to have John Carl Stanton and Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, where Judge is compromised playing the outfield because of his health. Soto's compromised in the outfield because he's not a good defensive player, and Stanton can't play the outfield because he's a DH who's on the downside. That's not building a team the right way.
No, I agree. Now, that's a different discussion. You'd be taking a bit of a U-turn. I'm with you on that. It's recalibrating because of mistakes that they made, which is better than not doing anything.
Right, but it's part of the offseason problem, where also part of the offseason being all in could have meant paying somebody to go away, cutting somebody, trading John Carl, doing something to build the team out better. I still think Yankees' upside is higher than many, if not higher than most in Major League Baseball. But their downside to me, I think this could be a team that misses the playoffs if things go wrong.
That will be a disaster. Brock is in Huntington. I don't see it happening, but you got a lot of baseball to play. Brock, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
What's going on, my man? I wanted
what's
to say BT and Sal. Hold on. You guys have a combination here. I wanted to mention that with LeMahieu, you know, you said, like, his prime is past him. I don't like to see injuries, but I think, you know, I look at the strikeout numbers. They're way up, 125 last year, it seems. It looks like, you know, he was overmatched by mediocre pitching.
Yep.
I think it's a blessing in disguise where they're going to get some new action at the top of that lineup. Hopefully, both Volpe, you know, could hang in there. Like you said, Verdugo, who knows? We'll see what happens. But, you know, him and Rizzo, another thing with Cabrera, I've seen enough of those guys.
I think that, and Brock, thank you for the call. You can hear a little baby crying in the background. So you're doing your juggle. We're both dads. We understand the juggle. It is real. Thank you for the call, pal. You know, this is not to disparage a player who's been a very good pro and has comported himself through injury in this fishbowl of coverage, New York, and the Big Apple, like an absolute A-plus, you know, A-plus model citizen, DJ LeMahieu. So I'm not looking to diss at DJ, but DJ LeMahieu is, I'm not even indifferent. Like, I'm almost ready for him to be gone. He has weak contact. He doesn't hit the ball hard.
I'm fine with that.
He can't run.
All right, but who's replacing him?
He's got no arm at third.
So why didn't they go get Matt Chapman?
Well, because number one, he just got hurt.
Right.
Chapman, okay, there's a lot of conversations within conversations. I don't like DJ. I respect him. I don't think he's very good anymore, quite frankly. The Chapman thing would have sounded good. Oh, Yankees got a gold glove. Oh, this guy's got bombs. He's got power. There's a reason why Matt Chapman, at the age of 30, whose K rate and whiff rate is going absolutely in the wrong direction. He swings and misses a ton. The Giants were desperate. They've been trying to give money away to everybody, including Aaron Judge and others, for Stanton before that, for years. Nobody would take it. So Matt Chapman finally got a few bucks. But Matt Chapman's not the guy that people thought that he was. So it's not like, yeah, if Chapman was here, would he be an upgrade over DJ? Sure. Would he be a problem in a year or two if he got a five-year deal? Yes. I'm not going to cry crocodile tears over Matt Chapman
not
playing third base for the Yankees.
Me neither, but who's your opening day third baseman in
It's going to be Cabrera.
Okay.
You've asked me five times.
All right, man. That's good enough for you somehow. I don't understand.
Well, it's good enough for tomorrow, provided Judge and Soto and Verdugo and Volpe and Rizzo and Stanton hit. Yeah.
All right, and then what happens when LeMahieu comes back? Then the guy that you don't like is playing third base and batting leadoff anyway.
Well, but yes. You know what's funny, Sal?
If one of the outfielders could play third, they'd be in great shape. Why don't we try Judge out at third base? Maybe they'd be all right. Keep him away from the walls.
Yeah.
You have him play an infield spot. Your outfield would be set. I mean, think about it. Now, obviously, I'm being facetious, but that's my point about this team not being built properly to be all in. It's just to me, and they got star power, sure. And could they theoretically mash people? Sure. But that could have been the case last year or the year before, and it just hasn't happened.
I don't disagree with some of the things that Sal just said. I do think it's important. I want to restate this, and this was not the case until this year. That's why I don't know where he's going to be batting on opening day, because I know Stanton's, or strongly believe he's going to start as a DH on opening day. Is he going to bat fifth? Is he going to bat sixth? Is there a chance you get about seventh, where he did a couple of times this spring? The difference with, at least going in to the 2024 Yankees versus the most recent iterations, is that while Stanton's still here, and I wish he wasn't, with all due respect, and same with DJ, who's aging out and is just decaying, he looks old, he runs old, he's got no pop. I wish these guys weren't necessarily on the team, but the Yankees are less reliant on them. If Stanton is in a 1-for-18 funk with 15 whiffs, guess I got news for everybody. Giancarlo Stanton ain't playing. If DJ LeMahieu's hitting those little humpback, mm-hmm. soft liners to second or seven hoppers to second because he can't get around on somebody throwing 95, 96 and he's got no contact, no, his barrel rate's pathetic, bottom third of the league, guess what? DJ LeMahieu's not playing. The Yankees have options, and that's what makes me excited.
Off.
All right, so we actually have a huge update
on
an injury
on
Knicks. Mitchell Robinson.
Saw this.
Mitchell Robinson has been upgraded to questionable versus Raptors tonight, and now moves to the cusp of return.
All right, so we got a little Mitch. News. Yeah, it is big news. It's not really surprising news because he got cleared for contact last couple of days. Thanks for throwing that out there, Hoff. I like Mitchell Robinson.
Hartenstein's
going to start, but of the three, he's the guy that I want back least.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be so. Right. When you get the OG update and the Randall update, yeah, now you really sound the horn. Now we're really excited, Hoff. You know what I mean? No, good job getting that in.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, hello, Al.
Where's the first Jersey Mike store?
I'm going to guess that it's in Delaware.
Down
it's in
the
New
shore
Jersey.
Somewhere.
Where? Of course, Jersey.
Point Pleasant.
You got it.
I got it.
Look at that. Who told
job?
You? Who told
Nobody
you? Somebody whispered
in the
ear.
Love Jersey Mike's. We had it yesterday. It was delicious.
Love it.
Before we
are
get
you
started,
Jersey or New York?
I'm from New York, raised in Brooklyn, and
Long
in New
Island,
Jersey
but
now.
I'm moving to Jersey actually this weekend. So I wanted to have you on. I grew up diehard Met fan, of course. So I've always loved you. And they invited us out here and said, we got to have Al. See if you could get Al. So thank you for coming in and hanging out with
Big
us.
Lou!
Thank you, Lou, for making that happen. And I just wanted to say this. This is such a stupid story, but I had to say it.
Oh,
so
boy.
I would go to games at Shea, and I'd yell just like this, Al. Watch this. Sit him down, Al! That's what I would do.
I heard you. Come on.
Sit him down, Al.
Sit him down, Al. And then I'd give up a jack, and BT would be like, I knew he sucked.
No, you walk somebody.
I got the 3-2. You know what Jim Leland used to tell our
Jimmy
our
Leland,
bench coach,
in between 17 Marlboros and the dugout?
I'm at 1997. The first year with the Marlins is in 96 after the Blue Jays. And Jim gets they sign him as the manager. So we go to the World Series and we win. But I threw a lot of pitches. I was a guy that didn't give up the strike zone. I didn't concede to the hitter. Because I had a pitch where when I threw it right, it looked like a strike, but it was a ball. And I jammed a lot of guys. I came in on the righties. So he used to smoke during the game. He'd hold it and he'd turn over to Tommy Sant and say, tell me when he gets to 3-2.
Oh my God.
I had an argument with Steve Traxel because now we have this pitch clock. And
he's like, what do you mean? I didn't you took longer than me. I was like, no.
Oh, he was the worst.
I threw way more pitches than you, but you took forever.
And by the way, Al, if you were coming up now based on the analytics and, you know, two, three times through the order, now I'm not talking about a pitch clock, but just in terms of you not being economical and you not conceding and bending in the strike zone, they probably would have tried to change you.
Yeah, good point. I luckily had Bobby Valentine. Bobby knew my maniacal stuff, and he left me alone.
Yep.
And I would tell Bobby V, even before the game, I'd go in, and I knew, you know, as a guy that is considered a front-end starter, and I always took pride when I got in that little window of a few years of being one of the better pitchers, and I would go in because I knew the last, say, three games, we were banged up a little bit, starters didn't go deep, and I would just, at the old Shea Stadium, you walk into the clubhouse, Bobby's office was to the left, and then you go to the right into to our area, and I turned to Bobby, and all I had to say, I said, Bobby, don't worry about pitch count today. And I would just walk away. And he'd go, wow. But it was code for, you know, when you're in that spot and I'll give up three walks. Like the whole thing with Blake Snell, I get it. If you have he's got a big banger curveball. He throws elevated high fastball. Don't concede to the hitter when you don't have to. You manage the lineup. Like you're right. This is something that is missed because we're on metrics, we're on velocity, we're on spin efficiency, and I'm not totally knocking it because there's some measurements to it that helps a guy to get back on track, but you don't pitch to that. You pitch to the hitter in the box, and you learn about swings, and you learn about what's the guy trying to do, and what did I do in the last at-bat, and I didn't pitch a chipper in the first inning because I'm going to throw something else in the third, and I got this for him in the sixth, and all of that was like kind of the plan, right?
Yep.
As opposed to empty the tank. Empty the tank is for a reliever to come in for 13, 14, 15 pitchers. I get it. Wow. You know, let it go. Plus fastball, bury a couple breaking balls. You know, he swings at something out of the zone. That's what short inning guys do. We've seen it with starters. And it's just not as creative. So, yeah.
No. I mean, listen, we could sit here all day, but I know we want to get a couple of things about the Yanks and the Mets rotation. Al Leiter with us on.
By the way, I love your passion, and you guys represent a great sports area. And I wish every market in America would have this passion. And you're only representing the fan base. But I'm listening to you guys about, like, you know, Yankees and Mets and what if and all this. Go through the rosters of all of the teams. Look at Baltimore, what their roster. They trade for Corbin Burns.
They're better than the Yankees.
No, they're better than the Yankees, but are you banking on Craig Kimbrell as your closer?
Shouldn't be.
No.
Batista's out. I like Cano's arm. You know, you could go. My point is, I like Grayson Rodriguez. I think he's got a big arm. He's basically a guy that hasn't established himself yet. Bradish goes down. Like, you could go into every roster outside of maybe two or three. I think Atlanta is probably
and point out problems.
Yes.
I agree with
right.
you.
I think Atlanta's the least flawed team. The Dodgers scare me with respect to the rotation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to also bang. They're going to hit. But it's just. But I love it.
Right, but every team's got question marks. Appreciate but for a team that says all in, trying to win their first World Series or get to one since 2009, the ceiling and floor, the disparity is too great. Like, the question mark should be limited. You could say that with Baltimore or Houston or whoever. But for the Yankees, who talk about, yeah, we're going all in, World Series or bust, they have so many question marks that I think they could win 100 games if everything goes right. And if things go wrong, they could win 82 again and miss the postseason. That's kind of my point with them.
What's their payroll?
$317 million?
$317 million.
But that means nothing. You know
yes,
that.
Yes, it does. At some point, we own a team. We look at what we're making, and we push our payroll to where we don't want to like have to go back into our checking account anymore. Right?
Right?
I mean, we're really rich people, and we're like, but like that's our number. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying with maybe one of the starters that was out there, right? Especially with the uncertainty.
Well, they tried
Garrett
to
Cole.
Get one. They ended up with Marcus Stroman. He's not Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery or certainly Corbin Burns.
Well, they didn't anticipate Garrett Cole going down. You don't set up your roster and go, okay, well, let's see. If Garrett goes down for 3 weeks, you know, you have to have some plan B and plan C. My thing with the Yankees, and I'm with you, I think the offense, again, it's all predicated on health, but their offense is scary. I believe that, and I'm going to believe that they're healthy, and I'm going to believe that they do what they are capable of doing.
That's what I think.
So you can't like, wow, they've been hurt. Okay, well, let's just hope. I had a blister for 3 years.
You ever have mid-spring beat-up?
Yeah.
That's what the Yankees said, Judge.
That's what Judge
had. Mid-spring beat-up.
Oh, I've been hearing for the last 3 weeks I've heard about this.
He missed like 9 days
or
something.
Did somebody say that?
Aaron Boone did.
They said mid-spring beat-up. Because I mean, what are they coming up
with? What do you want them to say? Hey. Exactly. You know, I'm not right now.
Al, mid-spring beat-up, it's a six-month season. The guy's always hurt his body, playing the outfield.
You know what I used to say when I had my fourth start in spring training, Port St. Lucie against the Marlins or whoever the Cardinals are, and it was 4 1/3, and you got to your pitch count, and I gave up four runs, and my ERA was 9. And all the guys, how you doing? And I'm standing there. You know what I used to do? Because I always worked on a changeup. And I know they didn't have metrics. They weren't doing like all that. I said, well, what happened? Boy, I increased my changeup today. I left a few up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, Joey hit there, Pujols got me, or whatever. You know, it's part of it.
Part of the verbiage, you mean?
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't worry about if a guy's trying to make a team and that player's not having a good spring, that's a concern.
Like Volpe was trying to make the team a year ago. He absolutely went bonkers, lights out. If he would have hit 190 in the spring, he's not on the Yankees at that point. And speaking of Volpe, we know the path of you, a Jersey guy, drafted by the Yankees, 83, 84, come up a couple of years later, the blister issues, traded for Jesse Barfield, and of course, distinguished yourself big time after that. Your son's an outstanding pitcher, Vanderbilt, which is one of the best academic and baseball schools in the country. He's a stud, played with Volpe at Del Bart. And I asked you when you came over, I said, because you saw Anthony was since kindergarten, did you think he was going to be a pro? Like, what did you see then? Were you right or wrong? Two-parter. Number one, when did you think that you, because I always find this interesting, somebody who made it, could make it, and what did you see in a young Volpe that said he could make it?
All right, I'll do mine first.
Okay.
I never trusted anything. I always thought that the bad was not far behind. Don Mattingly told me that.
Oh.
But this was
even in high school you thought
this was before I met Donnie.
Okay. No,
I was drafted the second pick by the Yankees. I was the 50th pick overall. I thought I would try this pro ball thing. I already had two brothers in professional baseball with the Orioles.
Mark, right? And
Kurt.
Yeah.
You know, he was kind of the trailblazer for pro ball for the lighter boys. And then I thought, you know, I did. I got a signing bonus I couldn't refuse. I got a big money, $105,000. I'll tell you right now.
You had a little Trans Am back then? What were you driving?
You know, I bought a Buick Riviera.
Ah, there you go.
How pathetic was I, huh? Everybody's buying these. Like,
I would have had a Trans Am. Oh, I got this for you.
Yeah,
I would
have.
Keep going.
So I never believed I would make it. And it was part of the insecurity of just the nature of the game.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get over that?
Yeah, I think once I got – all right, so here – so I Champ Summers was a hitting coach for Bucky Dent, my manager in AAA in Columbus, Ohio, for the Clippers in 1987. And Champ calls for me. He says, Skip wants to see you. Bucky? And Bucky's trying to be cute about whatever, the call. And he goes, you're going to New York. And I swear I wasn't being a smarty. I said, for what? And he goes, beep, you stupid, beep, beep, beep. He's going, you're going to Yankee Stadium. So my point was that even when I got the call.
It was unexpected a little
bit. Yeah, I think the baseball gods are real. I think when you start like, and I was never that good where I could be, you know, we're looking at Jackson Holliday and the Bryce Harpers and, you know, just magnificent talent. I wasn't, so I had to grind.
Gotcha.
So when did I think Anthony could play in the big leagues? It's a dream. You're one of very few in the on the planet. I believed what I saw in high school. And I'll tell you why. This kid.
But not before that, to be clear, before you.
No,
keep going.
No.
Not like he
so
was
my
12.
Story, real quick. And I know that you guys got to go do your thing. But my
You are our thing right now.
Right. So I'm with the Mets. It's a day game. I lived on the Upper East Side with my wife and my four kids by now. And Jack is five, or just five. I forget the year. And they're at a playground. But the story before, and then I get to the apartment and I run up to this playground.
Okay.
Prior to that, my son Jack went to the same park and would throw a wall ball with a tennis ball.
Yeah, we got it.
And there was this game going on. And this man comes over to Jack and says, hey, little boy, do you want to play NBD, the ball?
Let's see, I got to trust this guy. No,
and
I keep walking.
And
dude,
Jack
I know
being my shy son, he's like, no, like a little shy kid. My wife is watching this. Mm-hmm. So she walks across the playground right up to this guy and says, hey, did you ask my son to play? And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, oh, I didn't mean anything. She's like, no, he would love to play. So gets Jack in this game. Sure enough, I show up after a Mets game from Shea. I walk out on this playground, and there's kids playing everywhere, and there's this man pitcher. And Jack goes, Dad! And he looks over, and Michael Volpe, Anthony's dad, is the dad. And he looks, he goes, how late is your dad? So fast stop,
yep,
period.
Yep, that's crazy.
Fast forward to the youth baseball craziness of summer ball, etc. You know, Anthony Volpe's name was already, you know, already a name by like eighth grade. Like he was on USA, this, that, and the other. And my kid was, you know, he was kind of little engine that could. He caught up. And it just so happens, live in Summit, the Volpes are out in Warren, and Del Barton is a convenient, you know, it's just, and it's a great school, by
great,
the way.
Great school.
Great school. And they come back and play together. So they're together freshman year through, you know, the draft.
And he was going to go to Vanderbilt. Anthony, if he didn't wind up getting drafted by the Yankees in the first
round.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow. So,
but I know, I bet on work ethic. I bet on desire, love.
IQ.
This kid, and I know there's a lot of kids out there that work, you know, and it might work you to get to Division I program or maybe to minor leagues or maybe become the shortstop for the Yankees. But he has that. Mm-hmm. And this kid does nothing, much of anything else. I shouldn't say nothing. But eat, sleep, drink baseball.
I know.
I mean, it's and he's a great kid. Not a good kid, a great kid. So, like,
I'm not surprised,
basically. But where does it go? We'll see,
Do you think he has an all-star type of ceiling?
Yes.
He's got to be an all-star type of ceiling in a couple of years,
He'll figure it out.
Yep.
There's guys that figure it out, and his talent is there. I don't know what the number looks like, but it's better than 205 or whatever.
209, no question.
Yeah, yeah.
He had no idea what he was doing.
Well,
he's just figuring things out. He's a kid.
And it's scary.
With nothing behind him, by the way.
Guys, I got to the big leagues in 1987. I'm on the mound. I'm warming up at Yankee Stadium against the Milwaukee.
Who was your catcher that night? Do you remember?
Rick Cerrone.
Oh, Rick was still there. That's right. Rick was still there.
Time out.
Yeah,
you talk about pretty
Rick.
Cool. Even though I'm a Mets fan,
here
I got Don Mattingly at first.
Dottie Baseball.
Willie Randolph at second. Bobby Meacham at short.
Who was the first round draft choice,
Bobby
Meacham?
Mike Pagliarulo out of San Diego State.
I know he was.
San Diego.
Pags.
Ricky Henderson in left.
Yeah.
Claudel Washington.
Good lefty hitter.
And Dave Winfield.
There we go.
The rotation.
Was Rags a starter or in the
Rags was a closer.
Point? He was the closer.
So I win the game. We win the game.
Yeah.
And Rags closes it out.
Nice.
And he comes in. And Rags is my mentor. I saw him out in Arizona when I visited Jack. I love Dave Rigetti. Like he could do no wrong. He's my guy.
Got it.
And Rags comes over with the ball. And I'm like on cloud nine. I win my debut. And he says, you know, and he's such a smart. And he's like, sign this. And I take it. You know, you guys know baseball. You're supposed to sign on the sweet spot. And I'm thinking it's a team ball. So I sign it really small on, like, the horse show. And he's like, what are you doing, BB? He goes, sign it on the sweet spot. I'm like, oh, I didn't know it was just me. You know, this is Dave Rigetti.
You still have it?
No, he wanted me to
sign it
for him. Yeah, because he was seeing. Because they were painting me, like.
I know they were.
I remember that. From Guidry to Rigetti to me.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You know, all this Yankee talk here.
All right, let's go, Mets.
I mean, it's making me think, Al, you groove with Louis Soho. I mean, what are you doing?
Well, let me hear it. JT's rolling in this. Go, let's go.
Did you groove with BT? Did you groove with
JT?
Brandon Tierney.
Get him out of here. Off.
Did you groove one to Soho in 2000? You broke my heart. No. You think the Mets are going to be good? You think the Mets are going
to
be good?
He wants to talk about the Mets.
No,
he's talking about grooving it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm still mad about that. Dang it.
So am I.
No, I'm mad because I didn't walk Posada. That is, go look at that pitch. That ball right there. Bam, Piazza nails it. I throw that cutter. Ball. One pitch later, Brocious hits a little over Robin's head, and then the next pitch is Louie, the first pitch.
God, I know.
No, but you know what? It's 2-2 in the ninth, and I tell Bobby, the Mets put me in their Hall of Fame this past summer, and I wanted Bobby to be there, and I was very grateful because he flew back from the Angels. He does TV there. I said, Bobby, you got to be there. Like you're, and I meant it. I turned. I'm like, Bobby, I'm not here. First of all, Steve Phillips, thank you for trading for me,
right?
Because I'm not here, and being a Mets fan as a kid.
To be in their Hall of Fame.
Wow. I mean, it's such a dream.
Hey, you were a warrior. So, all kidding aside, the reason why I loved you, not only because you were a warrior and ultimate competitor and would fight out there, but because you wore your emotions on your sleeve. The faces, the tug in the hat, the just frustration out there, I loved it. Yeah. You got, obviously, a great personality, which has led to your broadcasting career, which has been a successful one as well. But as a fan, I love that from you. You wearing it. Other guys, it's like, does he really give a crap? But you,
no.
I knew you wore it as a method.
And honestly, some of the stuff after, it was kind of embarrassing, some of it. I was Jekyll and Hyde. Like, the day I pitched, you know, I hear about Max Scherzer, like, it was true. Like, I'm goofy, I'm lefty, and I like to have fun. But game day, like, it's all day, like when I have lunch, when I take a nap, when I drive to the field, the how I go into the clubhouse, all of it.
You drove Piazza nuts, didn't you?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Mike probably wouldn't admit to it. Maybe on the sidebar he would.
You think the Mets are going to be okay this year?
I love their offense. I think their offense is going to be really good.
But you love that you like or you love?
Love. I just want to make sure.
I'm going to challenge him on that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I think they're going to score a lot of runs. Now, whether that's top five in the league, I don't know. But I think when you have a guy that is a beast in Alonso, I really like J.D. Martinez.
Righty-lefty
doesn't matter. His best swing is right center. He could carve a breaking ball going away. You know, Frankie Lindor, he's a dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. Alvarez is scary good. I think that's there. I want to see what Brett Beatty's all about. I really do.
Yeah, I'll save you the suspense. He's not very good.
No, don't go there.
No, I said it about Vientos, and I was proven right. He's down in the minors now.
No, that doesn't mean anything.
Beatty could
hit. I didn't figure it out till I was 27. I got to the big leagues at 21. I don't ever do that to anybody.
You think New York guys like me yelling about it or fans wanting immediate results can hurt a young kid like that?
Yes, but I wouldn't listen. I'm telling you right now, guys, and my son, he's off of social media. I said, Jack, there's nothing good about this.
Nothing.
People don't like other people doing good stuff. People don't like successful.
They're jealous.
You guys know this. You guys have a radio show. You make good money. You're talking sports. Like, you got all those idiots that make these critics of your
stuff.
They
hate us online.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I did the Yankee games for 12 years. There wasn't one nice comment from one of the guys. Not one. Not even like, hey, Al Leiter's an idiot. But the third inning was pretty good.
Not one.
Yeah. Get out of here. Get out of here. Right. So
That's
you guys
awesome.
Are in the same thing. And when you're at the top, right, everybody can see, you know.
Well, it's funny, though, you say that because I always say, like,
but don't listen to you guys. Well, I would say this.
Me too. That's what I would say, the same thing. Where I get, oh, you're too hard on this guy. I'm like, why are they listening?
Don't listen.
I call Boone a data apple here and he takes offense. But why is Aaron Boone worried about what we're saying?
Because here's the problem. You got idiot friends that tell you.
Okay.
So, like, I was adamant. It was Mike and the Mad Dog. Let's face it. Mike and the Mad Dog back in the day.
No doubt.
And if I had a bad game, you think I was flipping that on, driving over to
the They were entertaining.
No, but I'm not going to hear that.
What if you had a good game? Did you want to hear the positive stuff?
Kinda. I did. But you know what?
It's human nature.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I walk by it in the Upper East Side and all the newspapers are there. And if I had a bad game, you think I turned it over to see, like, Leiter stinks? No. On the back page of Daily News and Post. But it was a pretty good game. Like, oh,
you know, after Cincinnati, you were turning that paper over. After
nothing. But you got to filter it because you get the BS in there.
Yep.
That's the hardest thing about New York.
Everybody's looking
to filter the BS.
Filter it.
Al, I was going to say, pardon me, the younger generation, sadly, is looking for constant adulation and almost like validation. And that's a scary
thing
to chase.
And in addition to that, and I'm totally against it, and if I was in charge, I would get the guys in there and say, guys, when you're best, at your best, what are you thinking? And I'm going to say 10 out of 10 guys, oh, I'm not thinking anything.
Nothing.
Right.
Clear mind. You know that. You played.
Nothing.
You played
Don't think,
sport.
Just do.
When you have a great game, man, what were you thinking? Nothing, man. The ball looked like a balloon. Wow, my delivery. I didn't care where my arm was. And boom! You know, it was good.
Yeah.
So get your guys to say, do me a favor. Turn all of this off for a month. Just bear down on what you have control of. Your process, your routine, your program. Your discipline, all of that, and then see what it looks like. But you have guys, and what you're saying, you want the adulation, all
they
that.
They need it.
No, but come out. They got shoe deals. They got their own shoes. They got their own clothing line. They got their own shows. What?
Yeah, podcast.
Play 6 months of baseball.
Yep.
What do it after. God.
Do you ever want to coach or anything like that? Because you could help, I think.
I love coaching, but I'm a little stingy with my time and schedule. And thank God I did well, and I did well after the game. So that's
doing?
Why this here, they give me this opportunity. I do shows here and there. I love this building. By the way,
this
Luke,
is the greatest thing
this
ever.
Place, honestly, guys.
It's fantastic.
Have you been here before?
First time for me.
Oh, my God. You got to go over to 21. That really, this if you're a baseball fan, Little League, middle school, high school, like, this is the place.
Well, it's heaven.
They don't know it yet, but we'll be back every day because the BT and Sal simulcast is coming to the MLB Network very soon.
You saw the boss bag come in.
What do you do with your free time then? You
golf?
What are you doing?
I like golf, but I'm not
good
enough.
So what's
Al Leiter doing?
Hold on. What's your handicap?
15.
How are you not better than a 15?
Because I don't golf enough.
Okay, fair enough.
And my
fair
ADD enough. Kicks in around hole 14. I think it should be 14 holes. I think it should be 7 and 7. Yeah. I do. If somebody comes up with a course that has 1, 9, 7, 9, 14, 18. They're going to make a lot of money.
Do you unwind?
You want the 14-hole round or you want the 18-hole?
I want the 18. I'm fascinated. More time to, you know, get away from reality, quite frankly. You know what I mean?
What's your handicap?
Oh, I'm not. I won't bore anybody. I know the game well. I play it. I don't play. I'm a good putter, good chipper.
I asked you your handicap.
I'm getting there.
Oh yeah.
I don't really have.
Come on,
supposed
JT.
To answer the end.
No, listen, dude. I'm getting there because the answer is I'm going to start playing right-handed this year after playing lefty.
What is your handicap?
I don't have one right-handed. Okay. That's right. My point.
So you're bad.
Listen, no, not bad. Like no. No.
You can't even make up a handicap.
No. Yeah. If I'm shooting well on my course, I go high 80s if I'm putting decent.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I can easily go 95. I'm not shooting 109, dude.
I don't know.
But you said...
You asked me my handicap. I said 15. Yeah, I asked you. It's five minutes later.
I gave you five chapters.
Started this because you said you value your time. I am very curious. Somebody that's high strung like you. I know you do the MLB Network stuff. Obviously, you're following your family around, your son and all that stuff. Is that what you're doing? Like, what does Al Leiter do if you're not playing golf all the time? What are you doing in retirement, post-baseball life?
Okay, great question. I dabble in some businesses. And I've been part of some really cool stuff. And I think that has helped deviate my interest elsewhere. That has opened up a whole other Pandora's box of
not
areas.
Not just baseball.
Yeah. I don't want to bore you with. But
that's fine.
You love politics too, right?
Well, yeah.
Oh, you're a political guy.
Whoa. We can't bring up politics now.
You can bring it up here.
Yeah,
without going crazy, it's
good.
Nobody's good. That's the bottom line.
I'd vote for you. Put it that way. I don't care. Yeah. I mean, I saw you battle. I love your personality. You get my vote. Who are you running
for?
Would
you vote for Jeff McNeil?
I wouldn't. I vote for Al Leiter, though. I'll tell you that. You get my vote. You're done. Whatever you need. I endorse.
Right.
Sal Licata endorsed.
All right.
And BT, I'm assuming you endorse as well. BT.
I got it.
Not Brandon.
Not BT. Not whatever the hell you call me. Come back from break. Al, we could do this all day, but we can't. And again, I think Sal said something really, really interesting about you. Maybe I'll use different words, like your quirkiness and like your it almost came across like your imperfections. There was a fallibility that most pro athletes don't project that I think resonated with average fans. So even as a Yankee guy and you're doing your thing with the Mets, always respected you the way you attacked your craft. I think your ability to relate to people is a great thing.
Honest,
great thing.
Being honest and being accept your faults.
Yeah.
I'll always remember going on, and I'll end with this, and Chris Russo works here.
Yeah,
but it would come out, Allie, you gave up 3 home runs, and Dougie Metz, we got you. I'm like, and you know what I did? I said, you're right. I can't believe Fred Wilpon's paying you $10 million a year. I'm like, I can't either. No. But then you disarm.
You totally disarm.
As opposed to being insecure.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't he give me $10 million? I'm the best player on the team.
No.
And then Mandel's got you right where you
want. I went the other way. I said, you're right. I stink. I can't believe they pay me.
This was awesome. Thank you. Give me some. Thanks for coming over, Al. Really appreciate you, dude.
Thank you, Al.
That was fantastic. BT and Sal.
BT and Al, sit him down.
Yep, come to Shea and beat the Mets.
Whoa.
Well, you guys were singing your version. I got my version.
We're singing. Hold on.
God, you can sing it as much
Dolph,
as you
cue
want.
It up. Can you get us a little Meet the Mets?
Meet the Mets.
Come on down and meet the Mets. Bring your kitties. Bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life because the Mets are really sucking that ball.
Hitting the home runs over the wall.
East side, west side. Come on, everybody, down.
To meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New York Mets.
Oh, that's good. Can I give
it up? Thank you very much, Al. I love you.
That was good. And we'll be back to Kyder's Corner in a minute. The Mets lose 11-2 to the Phillies here. We'll come back with a recap. That was awesome. You knew every single word. That was great.
All right.
We love you, Al. Keep it up, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.